The reading is taken from Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23, and then we'll read chapter 10, verse 33 to 36, found on page 103. So, chapter 9, verse 15. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days, and at the Lord's command they would encamp. And then at this command they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order, in accordance with his command through Moses. And then the next bit from chapter 10, verse 33 to 36. So they set out from the mountain of the Lord and traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them during those 3 days to find them a place to rest. Then the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Whenever the Ark set out, Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered. May your foes flee before you." Whenever it came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel."
Thank you very much, Rosie. Do keep your Bibles open there at Numbers chapter 9. Let me just sort myself out. Before we look at God's word together, let's pray, let's ask for his help. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are with us here today, and that you know us. And we pray that as we open up the Bible together, that by your Spirit you would open up our hearts, that we would hear your voice speaking to us. And we pray that as a result of what we hear, we would follow you closely, and that we would be kept safe. Amen. So to get the story so far, the Lord rescued his people from Egypt. Do you remember? They're not Pharaoh's slaves anymore. They are the children of God. And he led them from Egypt through the Red Sea onto Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where they are at the moment. And at Mount Sinai, the Lord has been getting them ready for when they get to the promised land, when they get to Canaan. He's been telling them what it'll be like to live as his children. He says it's going to be brilliant. It's going to be a land of milk and honey. It's going to be overflowing with good things. And our trouble is, when we think treat, we don't really think, "Oh, I'd like a bit of milk and honey." I mean, who thinks, "Oh, special treat, milk and honey"? Not many of us. So we just need to translate that a little bit. Rather than milk and honey, what are the kinds of things you think that are delicious, that are treats, that you'd really look forward to? What would some of those things be?
Cocoa Pops.
Cocoa Pops?
Just shout it out, Rachel. Shout it out. Chocolate. Fudge. Yes. Sweeties. Yes, I was thinking particularly raspberries and chocolate cake is a nice combination. Or Nutella on toast, white toast. Anyone else got any particular things here? favourite things?
Chocolate fudge cake.
A lot of chocolate going on, isn't it? So it's not so much the land of milk and honey. For us, it's the land of chocolate, really, isn't it? a land overflowing. What am I doing?
Put that there now. With good things. And in it, the point is we're going to be free. We're going to be free to enjoy life with God as our Father. Life as a child. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be home. But you see, to get there, they've still got a long march to make through the wilderness. Now, let's think for a moment what that wilderness was like. There's a picture coming up on the screen here of the wilderness, the kind of area they're going to have to go through. I don't know whether you can see that, but I'm back to the microphone here.
What are the sort of words you would use to describe that wilderness? It's what? It's deserted. Yeah.
There's no one there. There's no one there. What else? What are some of the words? I'm not sure I'm going to get to people quick enough, but raise a hand. What are some of the words that you'd use to describe it? Suzanne, I'm going to...
Dry and dusty.
Dry and dusty. And why would dusty be a problem, do you think,
if you're travelling through it?
Because you choke a lot.
Because you choke on the dust. The wind whips up and you choke on the dust. That's right. It's grim. What other words would you use to describe that wilderness? Here we go.
Snowy.
Snowy. Do you know, I know what you're saying, but I think that's because the picture's not very clear. But it might get very cold. My understanding is in the desert, it gets very cold at night. I don't know about snow, but it certainly gets very, very cold at night. Can anyone see any shops in the desert? Anyone see any shops? What? If there aren't any shops, why might that be a problem? Can anyone think why that might be a problem? Why might that be a problem?
No food.
Oh, yes. No Tesco Express. No food. What are they going to eat? Can anyone see any rivers in the desert there? No. Why is it a problem that there might not be any rivers? Why is it a problem? No rivers.
No water.
No water. What are they going to drink? And behind all those rocks, what could be lurking behind those rocks? Sorry? I'm not hearing it. Snakes. Snakes? Is that what you said? Could be snakes. Could be snakes. And scorpions and lions. Dangerous place. So as they think about their journey across the wilderness, how do you think they're feeling? Scared. Scared. I think that's probably right, isn't it? I think they're feeling a little bit afraid. Brilliant when we get to the land, but the journey is going to be a little bit scary. So they're thinking, promised land is going to be brilliant, but we're never going to get there. The journey's too hard. And the Bible says that the children of Israel traveling through the wilderness is a picture of the Christian life. We have been rescued by the Lord. We've been set free from slavery to sin. We're God's children now. We're on our way to the promised land. It's going to be brilliant, a world made new, overflowing with life. But we're not yet there. And like the Israelites, we're on a journey through the wilderness of this world. And it's really important to remember, friends, that we're not yet there, that we're still on the journey, because sometimes we think that when being a Christian is hard, when life hurts, we think something's gone wrong. No, nothing's gone wrong. We're on our way to the promised land, but we're not yet there. And for now, we're walking through the wilderness of this world. And the wilderness is quite a hard and quite a scary place. Think of what you've got to travel through in the days that lie ahead. Perhaps at school, you're the only Christian in your class. And there's this one teacher who's really funny and really cool, and everyone likes him, but he just can't resist taking kind of pot shots at Christians, at you even. It makes you feel stupid. You're not sure how you're going to keep going in the Christian life. Or perhaps you've got parents who are going through that awkward phase that parents go through. You know, when you're aged between about 13 and 18, your parents go through that really awkward phase. And you're wondering if you will get through it. Or perhaps you're going through a very hard time in your marriage. And you're wondering if you will make it through to the other side of this hard time. Or work is getting you down. Or you're battling with an illness that makes you feel like, well, perhaps God isn't good. Perhaps God isn't in control. It makes you feel like giving up being a Christian. Or perhaps you're fighting a particular sin that keeps tripping you up again and again. You think, I'm not going to be able to get to the promised land. But before they set off, the Lord at Mount Sinai says to them, don't be afraid. You are not alone. I am with you. I am with you. That's the first thing the Lord reminds the people of back in Numbers chapter 9. The Lord is with us. See, when they first arrived at Mount Sinai, the Lord told them to build that tabernacle. Do you remember that tent that was up on the screen? To remind them that he lived amongst them. And when they first built that tent, this cloud came down. And the cloud was to remind them that they were not alone. The Lord was really with them in all his glory. And so in our passage, Numbers 9, they're just about to set off again through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And the Lord says, remember the cloud. Look at verse 15 of Numbers 9. Just about to set off. And the Lord says, remember on the day the tabernacle, the tent of testimony was set up, the cloud covered it from evening till morning. The cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. Do you see what the Lord is saying? He's saying, on the journey ahead of you, you're not alone. Remember the cloud. I am with you. Now, this may look like an oversized floor mop, but for the purposes of this talk, it is actually a visual representation of the pillar of cloud. Okay, so I need children of Israel. Where's my cloud bearer, Sim? I need the cloud to be over the people, over the children of Israel. So there you are, children of Israel, all worried. How are you going to make it? Look at the cloud. The Lord is with you. So it's like you're starting, you know, when you start something like brownies or cubs and you go for the very first time and you look around the room and you think, I don't know anybody here. I'm all alone. And you're really nervous and your heart starts pounding. And then suddenly someone from your class walks in. Think, ah, I'm not alone. And every time they look at the cloud, they say, ah, we're not alone. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And remember who the Lord is. He kept his promise to save us from Egypt, which means he'll keep his promise to get us to the promised land. He will. Remember, he's the one who was powerful enough to save us from the Egyptians. Do you remember? Which means he's powerful enough to save us from snakes and scorpions and bandits and lions. And how did we get to Mount Sinai? Well, the Lord provided us food and water, which means he's able to go on providing us food and water to get us to the promised land. So there's no need for them to be afraid. And do you remember how the Old Testament all points to Jesus? Do you remember what Jesus is called? He's called Emmanuel, means God with us. And Jesus says to his followers, he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? So what that means is as we travel through the wilderness of this world, we're not alone. The Lord is with us. And remember who the Lord is. He's the one who laid down his life to make you his. He says, that's how precious you are to him. You are like my treasure. And I've got you safe in my hand, and I will never let you go. He's the one who says, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, he's saying, for whatever we face, he promises to give us all that we need to see us through. Sometimes we're worried about the sin that trips us up. I think, I'm never going to make it. remember who is with you. Do you remember who he is? He's the one who died so that all your sin could be forgiven. And he's the one who is alive, who gives us power to change, to fight sin. So as we travel through the wilderness of this world, it will be hard, but we're not alone. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The second thing that the Lord makes clear in Numbers 9 is the Lord leads us. Listen to verse 17 again. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. And whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. So the way it went was something like this. Okay, children of Israel, you need to stand up. You're going on a journey. And you're going to be led by the cloud through the wilderness. And it's kind of, think of musical statues. Whenever I say in the cloud, stop, you stopped. You stop, you freeze, okay? So, the cloud moves on and the people move. Which way is the cloud going? That way, and the people follow the cloud. And the cloud keeps moving and the people keep following the cloud. And then the cloud stops. And most of the people stop. And the cloud waits. And the people wait. And then the cloud moves on again. And the people move on again. And off they go. They follow the cloud through the wilderness. The cloud veers to the left. And then the cloud veers to the right. And the people follow the cloud. And then the cloud stops. And all the people stop. And the cloud moves on again. And the cloud begins to make its way back towards the front. Now, as they're following the cloud, do you see what the Lord is telling them before they head off? He's saying, remember how you got from Egypt to Sinai. I led you. Now, I'm going to lead you home to the promised land every step of the way. There's no need to worry. And the cloud stops. So who is going to make sure that the children of Israel don't get lost? Who's going to make sure of that? The Lord. The Lord's going to make sure. He knows which way to go. He knows when to start and when to stop. And he will lead them like a shepherd every step of the way. And again, the Lord leading the people of Israelites points forward to the Lord Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd? And we think, well, what does that mean? Why do I need a shepherd? Oh, it means he'll lead us through the wilderness every step of the way. He will get us home to the promised land. He leads, but notice the people had to follow. Did you catch that? Let me just read verses 18 again. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. At his command, they encamped. See it again in verse 20. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. You see it again in verse 23. At the Lord's command, they encamped. At the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order. You see, he led them, but they followed his commands. He said, go right, and they went right. He said, go left, and they went left. Now, what would happen if the Lord went to the right and the people went to the left, that way? What would happen? What would happen to the people? They would get lost. They would get terribly, terribly lost. Okay, hold it right there. They would get lost. So what is the way to follow the Lord through the wilderness safely? It's to walk by the word of his command. He says, go left, go left. He says, go right, go right. He says, stop, stop. Stick with him like glue. That's the way to be safe. Go his way. They go their own way and they'll soon get lost. Come and sit and join me at the front, children of Israel. We're on the home straight. Come and just sit down here. And do you remember the words of Jesus when he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And we think, well, I don't really like being told what to do, all this following Jesus. But you see, following him is not rule keeping. It's the only way to make it through the wilderness. It's the only way to be safe. So if I could just have our cloud bearer back again. Sim, come and stand next to me here, okay? Jesus says to his people, stick with me, okay? Follow me. Now, what if Jesus is saying, go my way, speak to the person no one else would speak to. So Jesus goes that way, and I go, I don't want to speak to that person. I'm going to go my way. See what's happened? Me and Jesus? I'm in danger of getting lost. Or we join together again in the middle. And Jesus says, go my way. Be generous with your money. Give it to those who need it. And I go, no, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to keep my money to myself. What's happening? I'm going to get lost. Or one last little one. Jesus says, go my way. Always tell the truth. Okay, so Jesus is saying, well, I think, no, actually, that's not going to help me. In this situation, telling the truth is not going to help. I'm going to have to lie to get through this. It's not going to get me through at all. It means I'm just going to get lost. Maybe you're thinking, but it's very hard to go his way. It's very hard to follow him. Well, do you remember? We're not alone. He's with us. He gives us power to go his way. So ask him. If you pray, Lord Jesus, help me go your way. That is a prayer he always answers. Maybe today you're someone, you call yourself a Christian, but you're feeling you have lost your way, rather. And you're not quite sure why. Is it as simple as you're not walking by his commands anymore? It might be because you don't really know what his commands are. You're not listening to his voice. Friends, if we want to stick by him day to day, we need to listen to his voice. It's why down the years, Christians have made time each day to read the Bible for themselves. Not because it's a rule, but because they want to stick close to Jesus. Because they don't want to get lost. Maybe you know exactly what he's saying. You know he calls you to go this way, but you have resolved to go that way. And you've ended up very lost. If that's you, Numbers says, if you're going to make it to the promised land, you've got to turn back. You've got to follow him through the wilderness. So ask him to help you to go his way again. So you get the picture, friends. If we're Christians, we've been set free from slavery to sin. We're on our way through the wilderness of this world, and it's hard. But we're not alone. He is with us, leading us. And the way to make sure we don't get lost is to stick with him, to walk by his word every step of the way. As we sit, let's pray. Lord, we thank you very much that in the wilderness of this world, you've not left us alone, but you are with us, leading us home to the promised land. And we pray that along the way, you would help us to stick close to you, to walk by your word of command. And we pray that so that we would be safe. Amen. Children of Israel.
Grab a seat. And Mike, do you want to come and join back up the front here? Mike, I've got loads of great questions. Yep. I've probably only got time for a couple, really. But if yours was one of the really good questions that worked its way down to me that we don't get a chance to ask, do come and grab Mike afterwards and talk more about it. Here's one for you, Mike. Lots of people ask a question that's something like, easy for the Israelites, in a way. They had a great big cloud to follow. Less easy for us. There's no cloud. What do we do?
I think the Bible writers would say it's easier for us.
You think more?
Because we look at the story of Israel and we see the way the Lord keeps all his promises. So one of the things that we pick up reading the Old Testament is the Lord keeps his promises. Okay, you see the history of Israel, I think he keeps every promise. And then when Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the age, it's a promise. And so what we've been taught from the Old Testament is he keeps his promises. And we've seen him keep even more promises than they did. So that's, I think, the first thing to say is he keeps his promises. The second thing to say is actually, and some commentators, some people writing about numbers, that they say, well, actually, just think of the number of people there were. Some people think they're up to about 2 million people. And actually, there's a pillar of cloud at the front. But actually, that's a big crowd of people. Not everyone would have seen the cloud. Some people will have just sort of got a sense of, well, I'm with the people who are following the cloud. I'll just keep going with them. And I think there's a word in that to us as well. Sometimes we think, well, what keeps us going sometimes is being with his people. That actually it's our brothers and sisters who spur us on in the Christian life. It's actually, I'm not sure I can really quite see the cloud for myself, but they all can, so I'm going to go with them. So I think the two things is hold on to the fact that he keeps his promises. He's promised to be with you. He is. Secondly, to keep going, hang out with his people.
And the other main question really is connected with that, which is, you know, what is this going to look like for me tomorrow morning? I've got a big decision. I need to know which way God wants me to go. And so someone saying, you know, what if I'm constantly reading the Bible and I'm praying and I still just don't know what is the right thing to do? Where's God's guidance in the midst of that kind of situation tomorrow morning, this week?
Obviously, I don't know your particular situation. I think sometimes my experience is we often find ourselves asking the wrong question, which is, I want to know whether I should go to, Aberdeen or Aberystwyth. But those are the sort of questions we ask. You know, should I take the job in Aberdeen or should I take the job in Aberystwyth? It's interesting that it could be that the Lord is saying it doesn't matter whether you go to Aberystwyth or Aberdeen, but what he is telling us is how to live, whether we are in Aberystwyth or Aberdeen, how to treat our neighbour, what to do with our money, how to spend our time, how to look after our tongue, how to love him, how to love people. Those are the things that really seem to matter to him, and it may be we just need to go, ha, what a relief. It doesn't really matter whether I go to Aberdeen or Aberystwyth, because the Lord's in charge. I've got to do the things he calls me to do, which he calls me today, to live in line with his heart. Also, and we talked about this on our weekend away, do you remember? I need to consult the wisdom of friends and say, look, I'm reading the Bible, I think I know God quite well, and I want to talk to friends who know him well too and say, look, in the light of what you know from reading the Bible, what are God's priorities? What matter most to him? Help me to be wise about a decision. So I think we sometimes think there's a right and there's a wrong. Actually, what we've got in here is a book of wisdom that helps us to care about the things God cares about so that our hearts are becoming more like his heart, so that those are the things we want to spend our day doing. And that there's plenty to be getting on with that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. There's plenty to be getting on with. And I think we sometimes think, I'm going to sit here on my sofa until the Lord tells me what to do. And the Lord's told me stacks.
These are all questions, all of these questions, things we're going to be coming back to over the next few weeks, aren't they? Yes. So it's pretty much more that we'll be saying on lots of these questions. We should probably hold it there on questions for now. But like I say, any questions that didn't get answered, you'll be down here afterwards. Great. Thanks, Mike.